desire your prayers. Lord, have mercy on us. We can't do anything without Him. And then it seems like I don't do very much even without all His help. But God's been good to me, and I give Him all the praise. The last day of October, we had been in a little meeting in Green Bank, and it so happened that the last night of that meeting was my 40th birthday spiritually. And it never hit like that I could remember. And so I had a feast that night. I don't know what the congregation had, but I had a feast and talked a little bit about my experience and so forth. And I'm thankful tonight to report that the God of all grace, power, wisdom, knowledge is able to keep you young people for 40, 50, 60 years of living for God. I recently had the privilege of preaching Sister Carrie McMillan's funeral back in February, and then followed in May by her dear companion, Brother Veda. And Sister Carrie had been in the ministry almost 70 years, or right around. They didn't really know exactly when she, Brother Veda didn't know exactly, our Sister Carol, I guess they just never pinned it down. Never really questioned her. Now, I think I would have. I'm so curious sometimes. If my wife had been a preacher, I'd want to know when she started. But anyway, she had preached for 70 years, and she was a teenager, I believe, when she got saved. So she had been living for God for somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80 years. That's older than a lot of people live. And she had the victory, lived it right down to the end, was a part of the congregation and wasn't even there. She would, her and Brother Veda, when he was able to come, they would do things, and he would have Bible studies, and sometimes he'd preach for us, but she would, her and him be visiting, and she'd say, well, you know, a good subject for a Bible study is this. And so they'd talk about it and pray about it. Next thing they know, the Lord would begin to work, and they'd start putting the scriptures together, and he'd give it to us. And she wasn't even there. But she was a blessing to the rest of us because she still had a burden for the work of the Lord. And one of the things, she was a Sunday school teacher as well as a, I guess you'd call it, assistant pastor. And one of the things that she was well known for in working with her young folks was this. She drilled in them over and over and over. And one of the leaders of the congregation, not Brother Ed or Brother, I can't think of Butch, but one of the other leaders told two or three of us there after her funeral, said she, by her influence and by what she was teaching and work, said leaders come out of her classes. In other words, she taught them, you can live for God. You can do it. She drilled that. Brother Mike Hightower told me over and over and over she'd done this month after month. You can live it. You can do it now. You can do it as a young person. You can do it as a young married person. You can do it as a middle-aged and an old. You can do it. And she was successful, very successful, of the workers that have come out of her teaching and her ministry. She had some excellent people that she was the mentor in to bring them to where they were at. And he gave her high, high compliments. I thought that was an excellent report. But I'm 58, going on 59 now. And I started this way when I was 18, the fall 1971. And I'm not going to say I've been on the mountaintop shouting all the time, because I haven't. There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of begging and pleading. But I got news for you. When I needed it, God was there to hold me, strengthen me, lift me, whatever I needed. And so consequently, if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Young people, don't quit. Young people, live for God. Young people, do all you can do for God. This is the only way to real peace, life, and a glorious life is with Jesus Christ. Again, we desire your prayers. If you make a debt to someone, and you tell them, I will pay that debt, what are you supposed to do? A man's word years ago was his bond. It's not that way much anymore. You can have all kind of contracts, and they might try to back out and finagle out of them. But used to, if you said there was a handshake maybe, and I told Brother Marshall, I'll pay you $1,000 for that car, he could just say, I'll get my money. And I would pay that. But yet today there is people that just absolutely are doing everything they can do. There's bankruptcies. There's all kind of things that are happening in our land. Because people, they want to buy things. They want to get things. Yeah, I'll pay you. But they don't pay you. They'll make a promise, but they don't follow up with that promise. And this is happening. That's one problem with our country, is people don't do what they ought to do. And Lord, help us tonight. You and I have an obligation to God to do what we're supposed to do and to live what we're supposed to live. Let's go to 50 of Psalms, please. 14th verse. We'll read about three scriptures here in the great book of Psalm 50, 61, 56. It said, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. 61 and 5 of Psalms. It says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. And then 56 and 12 of Psalms says this, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now thou is a solemn, holy promise by which a man bound himself to do certain things in a particular way, time, and situation, and for power to accomplish which he depended on God, hence all vows were made with prayer. A vow is a solid promise made to God. A vow is a promise of something to be given or done hereafter. A solemn promise is the vows of unchangeable love and fidelity in a moral and religious sense. Vows are promises to God as they appeal to God to witness their sincerity, and the violation of them is a most heinous offense. To give, to consecrate, or to dedicate to God by a solemn promise to devote. Now every one of us in here, and I'm making a broad statement when I say this, has made a vow unto God. And there may be a situation where that you've made more vows than one unto God down through the years. And he said here in 50 and 14, he said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Tonight, the Lord wants to talk to us. It's time to pay up what we promised God we would do. There had been people that had promised God and begged God and got in trouble and wanted help and pled with God to do this. If you'll do this, I'll do that. There had been those things that had been done many, many times down through the years. But dear ones, tonight the Bible says, pay thy vows unto the Most High. There comes a time when you and I make a vow and set a thing in motion that God remembers that. He remembers it's serious, it's solemn, it's dedicated, it's God's. And when you make a vow and plead for mercy and whatever it might be, when we do that, there's a reckoning time and a dealing time. There's a time that we need to be reminded, I made that vow. I done it so many years ago, weeks ago, months ago. I made a vow to God that, Lord, I want to live for You. If You'll do this and You'll do that, I'll get saved and live for You. They've been thousands and thousands of those vows made down through the years. But the bottom line is, very few people pay their vows unto the Most High. They just make them, and then they seem to forget about them. When the sickness goes away or the body is healed of a wreck or whatever it might be, they seem to just kind of forget that kind of thing. God don't forget. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Have we paid the vows that we're due to God? What have you vowed to God? What have you pled with God? God has heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. He's heard your vows tonight. No matter where you made them, when you made them, God heard those vows, and you're responsible for the vow that you made unto God. There's been many, many times that people have said, I need you, Lord. I want you. If you'll get me out of the military, I'll live for you. If you'll do this or that, I'll do it. But then they go along and they don't do what they ought to do. How many times have you been sick and vowed? What about your companion? Have you made a vow that if the Lord had mercy and healed that companion, spared them or whatever, that, oh yes, Lord, I'll live for You. I'll get saved. I'll get sanctified. I'll preach the gospel. I'll do whatever. I know of a case that Mama told me about years ago about a man, I guess up there in Mississippi where she was from, and this man got a calling from God. And God was dealing and working and calling him. The man had several children, and he told the Lord, said, Lord, I can't work for You. I can't do that because of all the children I've got. So one day one of the children just up and died. And of course the parents were devastated and shocked, and they buried the child and went along, and they were grieving and so forth. And then a little while later, God dealing with this man again. No, Lord, I can't do that because of the children that I have. I have too many children. And the Lord came along and took the second child. Just in a quick, mysterious way, bang, child went out into eternity. They buried the child, went along, and then one day, the man was praying, said, Lord, have mercy, why have You taken my child? Oh, it's serious for God to deal with you and I, and for you and I not to do what God's wanting us to do. Not to pay the vow, or not to do the calling, not like to hide it under a rock or under a bed or bury it in the ground. I don't want to do that. I just don't think I can handle that or do that. Listen, folks, Moses tried to do it. He tried to get out of doing what God wanted him to do. God just provided him a mouthpiece and said, Aaron will help you out. I'm going to tell you tonight, if God deals with you, calls you. Listen, when we get down, when you and I are making a vow here at the altar, so to speak, when we come and present our bodies a holy sacrifice unto God, and we give that, we dedicate and solemnly set ourselves on that altar. In a sense, we're making a vow. We're making a vow to God that, Lord, I'm giving myself to You. I want You to do what You want to do. That goes all the way from the wife and the children, the home, the cars, the job, the money, the bank account, everything about it, Lord. I'm giving it to You. It's Yours, Lord. In a sense, saints, that's a vow to God. We're making a holy vow that we're giving all to God, our will and everything about us. And then as we do that, and we get up and go out into the world and live the life, and God comes along and said, I want you to do this, and you start backing up, you're breaking that vow. And God's not pleased with that. He wants you and I to keep the vow. Keep what God is asking us to do. Oh, I don't want to scare us tonight, but I want us to get the fact that sanctification is something that people need tonight. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, having the power and the glory to be able to live for God day in and day out, not up and down, not in and out. I know a case right now where a young man has lived a shabby life, bounced up and down, in and out, didn't live for God for a while, then he lived for God, and so forth. He's got himself in quite a mess because of his shabby living. I want to tell you there's a better life than shabby living. And that is to make it and to keep it. Keep that vow to the Most High. When you dedicate yourself and say, Lord, I'm giving you all, He means for you and I to keep that vow. He means for you and I to live that life. Oh, but brother, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't even want to go across the street. Listen, folks, God gives grace where He gives the call. And if He wants you to do something and you vow to give your all to God, He wants to be able to reach down and say, child, I want you to do that and I need it now. Listen, Jonah got in a lot of trouble when God called him to go to Nineveh, called him to go preach to those people. That country was in trouble. They needed help. And Jonah was supposed to go preach to them. And Jonah went away from the presence of the Lord. Listen, folks, if we start backing up, the presence of God is here, and you're going that way. And I'm going to tell you, you and I can get ourselves into trouble real quick when we start backpedaling on God. What happened to Jonah? Do you remember? He ended up on a boat. They threw him overboard. Ended up in a fish's belly. Went down to the depths. Had the sea reeds wrapped around his head, his neck, I believe it was. And what Jonah had to do was come to the place that salvation is from the Most High. Praise God. He had to admit. He had to come to the place that I'm wrong, Lord. I should have done what you told me to do. Listen, folks, tonight, pay thy vows unto the Most High. When God is dealing with us, working with us, calling us, you and I need to do it. Praise God. God can't do work in the earth. Well, He can do anything, but He likes to use mankind to do part of it. And people are backpedaling, running, hiding. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest. I didn't know I was going to get into all this. Lord, help us. You pray for us. One of the greatest needs of the church today is consecration. We don't have the consecration among us that we had 20 years ago. We don't have the consecration we had, let's see, 98, even 10, 12 years ago. That's the reason people are doing some of the things they're doing. Lord, help us. And that is, they're not living the life. When the pressure gets on, they begin to waffle and go down and backstep. And you know why? Because they're not consecrated. They're not standing up to the vow that they made for God. And consequently, when they're doing those things, they're backing up on God. And God's trying to move them forward. And they're getting in trouble because they're backing up on that vow. I'm going to tell you, it's time to make fresh consecration. It's trying to live up to the vow that you made before God. Because God expects us. He hears those vows. He knows those vows. I don't care how quiet you made it. You might have done it in your bedroom or in the living room at home. But the almighty ears of God is very good. He sees and hears and knows every utterance of the heart. So any type of vow we make, God knows it. So tonight, are you paid up on your vows? It's serious to make a vow before God and not keep it. Very, very serious tonight. Oh, this man, that second child died. Don't you think that was a shock to him? And then he asked the Lord, said, why? The Lord said, I gave you a call. You told me you had too many children. I'm taking care of the problem. What do you think he thought about that time? I'd just kill my own two children, so to speak. If I would have done what God wanted me to do, I'd still have my children. Listen, folks, the Lord has the power that if you and I just let Jonah, if we start backing up on God, He can begin to change our mind in a most serious manner. We need to get serious now, praise God. It's not time next year or next month. It's time now to serve God with our heart, praise the Lord. It's time to give all to God. Not to pitter-pat around and get out at the edge of the stream. I love that song they sung several years ago. The Green Bay Quartet, I believe, is one that sung it about wading on out. Get on out and swim in water, praise God. Not just get to the edge or get to the ankle or get to the knee, but let's get on out the water, praise God. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's get into swimming water and go all the way for God, praise the Lord. There's too many people today that's pitter-pattering around the edge. They just go so far out. Well, that's deep enough. I'm going to tell you, you can never have the glory till you get on out into the water. The real glory I'm talking about. I'm talking about the glory when you suffer day and night, when you're in so much pain you can't hardly stand it, and then the Lord comes along and pours out glory on your soul, praise God. Been there, done that. 1987, when I was so sick, I was at Brother Salmon's house, and the congregation there was good to me. But there was three brothers in between, in particular, Brother White, Brother Marshall Doolittle, and Brother Tony Sammons, along with Brother Mark and Sister Verna. My mom and dad was there, my wife was there. But the bottom line was, they were there to rub my back. They were there to encourage me. They were there to serve me and to help me. And God helped me in all the pain and the suffering. And one night, Sister Verna and Sister Becky was in the kitchen, and they were eating in there, and the Lord come along. And He come along, and He filled my soul with so much glory that I was sitting there shouting and crying at the same time. And Rebecca goes, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" She comes running in there, so to speak. I said, "Yes, ma'am. Jesus just passed by, praise God." I'm going to tell you, that glory come from the hard-earned glory fountain, so to speak. God bless me. He wants to bless you, but He wants to do it because you're willing to get out and do the tough stuff, do the deep stuff, and get out in the water and swim day and night, praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, tonight, you pray for me. I'm getting this stuff I never thought about. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. We need to make vows, and we need to pay our vows, and we need to stay with what thus saith the Lord and what you told God you would do. Oh, I tell you, Lord, help us. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to read that scripture. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I'm going to tell you, it's your reasonable service to make a vow, to make a consecration, to give yourself to God. It is your reasonable, it is your duty to do that. We were created to serve God. We were created to work for God. We were created to rejoice for God. We were created to do what God wanted us to do. And it's your reasonable service tonight to come and present and give and make a vow and stick with that vow to death do you part, so to speak. Oh, Lord, help us. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God..." I'm going to tell you, it's only by His mercies that you're where you're at. It's only by His mercies you're even saved. And it's only by His mercies that you've gotten as close to God, have the light, the understanding, and everything you have. It's only by His mercies you are where you're at tonight. And God, in all of His love, all of His mercy, pity, compassion that He's had on your soul, it's that mercy that's got you where you're at, and you owe Him the rest of your life. You owe Him everything you've got. I was preaching a message the other night, and I was relating an incident that Brother Ed Wilson told. I think right here, it might have been in Guthrie, but he was talking about a man that had gotten saved and was living for God. This man had been a singer at one time out in the old gospel, not the gospel, the old sinful world. I guess he had sang and he had drank and maybe played some and different things. Well, anyway, he got saved and he living for God, and he was going down the street and getting close to a bar that he used to go in, and a voice spoke to him and said, "You need to go in there and sing to those people. Good old Christian song." Well, he thought about it. It sounded pretty good, so he went in. And he got in there, and he's sitting there, and he's playing. I believe he had got him a guitar and was picking and playing and singing good gospel songs. And a man come up and said, "Here, you need a beer. You need something to drink." "No, no, no, that's fine." And so in a little bit, the man come back by again. "Just give me water. I don't want no beer. I'm picking and playing. I'm living for God. I'm telling these people about Jesus." And so he come by again. "No, no. Come by again." "No, just water. That's fine. No beer. No alcohol." And a little while, the man kept coming back around. The devil, I'm going to tell you, he'll get us any way he can. He'll send people by every whipstitch if he can to try to break you down. I'm going to tell you, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's after every one of us. He don't want nobody to go to heaven. He wants everybody to go to hell. And tonight, bless your heart, that man stayed in there. And in a little while, the man brought by and he reached out and took the beer and began to drink. Brother Ed said the man backslid that night. Right there. Never made a profession again that he knew of. And listen, it hit me hard when I was preaching that message. The only thing between you and God, or the only thing, no, excuse me, help me. The only thing between you and sin, you and backsliding, is the one and only Lamb of God. The only one. I'm going to tell you, we need Jesus. We don't need to push Him in a corner. We don't need to shove Him off. We don't need to tempt Him. We don't need to... the Scripture says there in one place about the grace of God. Frustrate the grace of God. We don't need to do that. We need Jesus, folks. We need Him bad because it's His blood. It's His grace. It's His power. It's His presence. It's the seed that's within our soul and heart that keeps you and I out of sin. Bless your heart. I'm going to tell you, we can't live it without Him. Some people say, "Well, I'm this and I'm that." I'm going to tell you, take heed how you stand, lest you fall. You and I need to serve God. We need to pay our vows. We need to make a consecration. And we need to stand by what we tell God we'll do. Oh, I tell you, that's been riveted on my mind this week. I told Becky, I said, it's gotten stronger after Sunday night. The fact, or Sunday afternoon, I guess it was, the fact that Jesus is the one. He's the one standing between us and everything. He's the one there helping us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We need Him, folks. We're beholden to Jesus Christ for everything He's got. And you and I don't want to take that lightly. We don't want to push Him in a corner. We don't want to put Him down. We want to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, reign in me. Come, Lord Jesus, bless me, keep me, help me. I need You, Lord. I need You bad. I beseech You, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." The only way we can present our bodies a living sacrifice is because of the blood and the salvation of Jesus Christ. The only way we can bring it holy is because we've been saved and redeemed. And doing that, doing everything, being sure you're saved, washed in the blood, you're where you ought to be, that then would make it acceptable to God. And then that is your reasonable service, to bring that vessel yourself and give it all to God and say, "Lord, I'm making a vow." You might not have ever thought of it, saints, as a vow to God, but in any sense of the word, it's a vow. It's a solemn promise that I'm giving everything to God. We need to do that. And the quicker we do it, the better off we're going to be. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Pay thy vows to the Most High. Oh, the Lord wants us to help us. How many people do you know and made a vow and not kept it? How many vows have you made? You know, there's times that a child gets sick enough and parents think he's going to die, and they're not ready to meet God, and they're not where they ought to be. They start begging for mercy. "Oh, Lord, I make a vow. I'll do this or I'll do that." I'm going to tell you, I appreciate Brother Lauren Vance Busby. His daughter was killed. Very serious accident. Two of them were killed. Two cousins. and they went out into eternity to be with Jesus. And Brother Lauren Vance was not saved. But in a little while, I don't remember, it wasn't very long, I don't think, he began to count, began to consider, he gave his life to God. And folks, he's lived it for years now. He's been a blessing to me. He's been a blessing to the saints. He's been a blessing to his wife. And I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful that he made a vow and he kept it and he's sticking with it. And bless God, he's been a blessing to people. Praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, don't let something like the death of your child make you serve God. Do it before that point. Serve God now. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord wants you to give everything you've got and do it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off, because tomorrow may not be your day. What about a job? If you was out of work and needed a job, and you said, Lord, you say, I tell you what I'll do, Lord. If you get me a job, I'll give you so much money. I'll give you 15% or 20% of my paycheck. I know a case that a man told the Lord that he was building a house, and he told the Lord, he said, now when I get my income tax money back, my refund, I'm going to give so much, and it was quite a bit of the refund to the work of the Lord. Well, he was building the house, and the money come in, and here was needs of this house, and guess what? He didn't do it. They went to help that house. They didn't go to help the Lord. And then the Lord sent a message by something like this right here, and he said, folks, I've been caught. I've been caught right here because God saw the vow that I made, and I have not kept what I told God I would do. He was in trouble, and he knew what. I knew another situation Brother Robert Benson, back there several years ago, he was trying to get on disability, and we were serving as Pastor Guthrie, and he talked to me. He said, can you help me? I said, whatever I need to do. I wrote letters and done everything I could do, and he told God, he said, if you will give me this disability and work this out, I'm going to give you a whole hunk of that. That money, that original paid back or whatever, I can't think of what it's called. But anyway, he said, I'll give that to you. And he stuck by his word. The money come in, I don't know how much it was, but I know people that told me personally, said, Brother Carl, he done what he said he's going to do. If it's $800 or $1,000, I have no idea what the figures were, but he stuck by his word. I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us. God will bless something like that. If you have a business and you're in trouble, oh Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll bless my business, Lord, I'll live for you, I'll work for you, whatever it might be. Are you keeping that vow? Are you keeping that vow? Brother Audney Davis, a number of years ago in Guthrie, they were needing a addition onto the church. If I'm not mistaken, Sister Marilyn, that was back in the 60s. That was before my time, but I heard the story different times. And so Brother Audney was quite a large farmer and cattleman and maybe dairyman, I don't know what all. I never knew the brother, just knew his wife. But anyway, he told the Lord, he said, I'm going to plant so many acres of wheat. He said, if you'll bless that, I'm going to give that whole amount to help build that chapel. It was the best crop he'd ever grew. Yielded the most money had ever been yielded. He paid his vow to the Most High. Listen, folks, you cannot go wrong paying your vow. That's the greatest thing you can do. When you make it, pay it. I'm going to mention another person's name, Sister Marilynette. She told me one time that she wanted to raise some chickens to give to Monarch. Now, this has been quite a few years ago, and she had so many chickens, said, Lord, if you'll bless that, I believe I'll give the whole group of them to Monarch to be used during the camp meeting. She said that was the best crop she ever grew. I'm going to tell you, if you want your old heart blessed, you want your soul blessed, you want to be blessed, heart, soul, mind, and body, I'm going to tell you, it's time to pay vows. Praise God. It's time to do what God would have you to do. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Help you to buy something. I believe it's wise, and I may get in trouble at times for saying things like this, but you go to buy a car, and you're living and consecrated unto God, I think it's a nice thing to say, Lord, what kind of car would you have me buy? And Lord, if you'll do this, I'll carry people to church with me. I'll do this and do that. And I know some saints has done that. But you know, some people, the Lord helps them, and then, you know, they kind of forget what they vowed. Well, no, I really can't pick you up tonight. Need sister or brother so-and-so to come by and get you. Lord, help us. That car belongs to God. Everything you've got belongs to God. Every blessing you've got belongs to God. God is everything, and He gives us everything. Whether it be temporal, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be financial, God is everything. And when you tell God, help me to get this and do this, and then we don't, we're backing up on a vow. A home. A piece of property. What would you do with something like this if God blessed you and led you and guided you and give you that? Would you stick with that vow? Have you stuck with that vow? Oh Lord, if you help me get that property, if you help me build that home, buy that home, oh Lord, I'll use it to the glory of God. I'll keep people, I'll do this. I know saints that have done those very things many times over. But have we all done it tonight? Have we done it? What about if you'd say, Lord, if you give me the desire of my heart, I'll do something for you. Oh, Lord, help us tonight to pay our vows. He said He sees, He hears, He knows all about these vows. He wants you and I to keep the vows that we make. It's extremely serious. And there's no telling how many people have made a vow and not kept it. You know, there's no telling. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But tonight, the Lord's saying, it's time to pay up. Pay thy vows. It's time to do what you told God that you would do. Pay thy vows to God. Oh, are we doing that tonight? Have we done that? Have we done what God is wanting us to do? Let's go to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis 28. And about the 20th verse, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Now then, the 31st chapter of Genesis and the 12th verse, he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, are ring shanked, speckled and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, return in the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him stranger? For he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. Now these two readings are connected. And Jacob here, God blessed Jacob for the very fact that he done what he said he would do. And he had served a while. And God said it's enough. And He blessed his livestock and blessed different things because Jacob stuck to what he said he would do. That's what my understanding is anyway. And so consequently, he vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go, give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Then shall the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Have you ever said, Lord, if you'll bless me, I'm going to live for you. You're going to be my God. What about Ruth and Naomi? That's one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament, Ruth and Naomi. Ruth made, in a sense of the word, she made a very solemn vow that I will go with thee whithersoever thou go, and thy people will be my people, and so forth. And she stuck with that. She did not waver. Others went back. Others done this. She was taking a real, what do you want to call it, a real, Lord help my word, a real gamble. That ain't the right word. But making a serious decision to follow. She didn't know God in a sense. She didn't know her mother-in-law's religion and so forth. But she knew her mother-in-law. And she knew she wanted to follow her. She knew that I'll take your God. I'll take your people. Whatever. But let me follow you. Let me go with you. I don't want to back up. I don't want to run and hide. I don't want to go back. Let me be with you. Praise God. And she followed. And to me, she made a vow. And she stuck with it. And she followed. I'm going to tell you, when you and I get up from that altar and we start out, we're in a sense, the word was saying, Lord, if you give me bread to eat, your raiment to live, and so forth, you're going to be my God. You're going to be my God, and I'm going to serve you. We do not know what's outside that door. You do not know. You make initial consecration. You make an initial start. But from that point on, you've got to keep consecrated and dedicated to God every day, every second, every hour of your life. And you're moving forward. Just like Naomi did. She could have run, she could have hid, but she said, I'm going to go whithersoever thou go. I'm going to be with you, Ruth. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to be what you be. I want to serve your God. Listen, we don't know what all we're going to go through. 40 years that I've lived for God has been a lot of changes. There's been some hurts and some heartbreaks. There's been some things I've gone through. But I'm going to tell you, when I go back looking over and examine it, I wouldn't change one thing. Because God has been my God. His people has been my people. And I appreciate you putting up with this, old fella, and listening to me down through the years preach the gospel. But the bottom line is, I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. I wanted to go where God wanted me to go. And it ain't always been high. It ain't always been white shirts, big cars, and fried chicken. There's been some tears and some hard places. But God has been my God. And I'm going to tell you, Ruth and Naomi, they kept a going. She kept a following. And she got there. And what she ended up with was glory in a sense. She got a husband. She got blessings. That would be on what she could ask or think. Listen, folks, if you'll follow on and say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my God. You supply and I'll do. I'm going to tell you that Lord will bless you and take care of you. Shall be my God. Shall be the Lord. Then shall the Lord be my God. Oh, tonight, 1 Samuel, the first chapter. This is a special reading to me. How that the ninth verse, so that Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Get this picture, saints. This woman is in a real depth of agony. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto me thy handmaid, given to thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. Came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Beel, For out of the abundance of my complaining grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. One of the most serious things in that time was if you was married and couldn't have a child, especially a son. It was a very serious thing. And women, they labored under that. It was hard on them. And in this case, wasn't it she had somebody else that was picking on her and berating her and downing her, and she had taken just about all she could take. And she took it to God. Sometimes, folks, we get into positions and situations where the people are down on us and on the job maybe or whatever it is, and we take it to God. And, oh, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And we pour it out before God. Maybe we fast and pray. There was one situation up in the north I heard about where a man wanted a blessing. And so he come home, and he went down in the basement, and he got down before God, and he began to pour out his heart unto the Lord. He said, Lord, I want a blessing, and Lord, I'm not going to leave here till I get it. And he began to pray. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And I don't know how long he prayed, but the glory of God come down. He stayed there, right there. He didn't get up and run. Listen, folks, sometimes we got to stay on our knees till the light shines through, praise God. We've got to stay there till we know, as Brother Kimball used to say, that the Lord drops His hand, and we know that we've gotten through. We know God has answered prayer, and that's what she was doing. She was serious. She was going to stay there, so to speak. She was serious and sober. She wasn't drunk. She was under a hand of affliction, so to speak, of grief, of torment, because of what that person was doing to her, and she couldn't have a child. Her womb was locked up, so to speak. But God, He blessed her. He heard her prayer. She vowed a vow, and she gave, and she done everything God required of her. That man stayed there, and he prayed, and God come down. He come up out of that basement, they said, shouting. He was so blessed and happy. He went to work the next day and come home. He said, I want another blessing. And he tried to put his knees right back in the same spot, praise God, to get the glory of God to come down one more time. Oh, Lord, how long has it been since we prayed and stayed and got the very thing, the very victory, the very power. I'm going to tell you, we don't need no shabby lives. We need Jesus. We need glory. We need everything God is required of us. And we need to pay thy vows unto the Most High. If we'll do that, God will bless us. God blessed her. He gave her her request. He worked with her and helped her. Oh, today, Judges, the 11th chapter. Now, this is a sad situation here to me. About the 11:30 through 39, 11:30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then shall it be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I'll offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah, and I'm probably not pronouncing it right, passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. He smote them from Area even till thou come to Mina, even 20 cities, and then the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon was subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. Came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. And thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Lord, help us. Help us to remember that time. Help us to remember that vow. He looked. He considered. This was his only daughter. I vowed this. I've got to stay with it. I can't just run and hide now. I can't just back up on my vow. I have vowed this vow. And the Lord has heard. He has blessed. He's given victory. As I was preaching last night on deliverance, like I said, there is times that we struggle with things for a while before we get them. And if you made a vow in your struggles for deliverance, and whatever it might be, and you say, Lord, if you'll do this or this and so forth, I will give, I will do whatever it might be. I need victory. I need deliverance. I need power. Whatever it might be. Have you done that? Have you kept going? Have you kept trying? Have you kept working? Oh, we don't want to stop. We don't want to quit. We want to go on. We want to get everything God has for us tonight. This meeting is a short meeting, but God is a great God. And the Lord wants to do for you. And He remembered. It bothered Him. But I cannot go back. And she said to him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. She said to him, Father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was common, it was custom in Israel, that the daughters of Israel went yearly to Laman, the daughter of Jephthah, and Gileadite, 4 days in a year. I'm thankful tonight that he done what he said. He remembered. Now the commentators are not totally sure exactly what happened to this girl. They're divided, what I understand, and that's a long time ago. But the bottom line was she and he was willing to do what he vowed. There is times that husbands and wives have to work as a team. They don't want one pulling one way and one another. They want to do, and this is not a husband and wife team, but it just coming to mind, a husband and wife that have given themselves to God. As the husband moves, or as the wife moves, as the leading, they need to work, they need to pray, they need to fast, whatever they need to do. And they need to work with what has been set up and put into place. My wife and I's vows, but in those vows we also said, the same as Ruth and Naomi, whithersoever thou goest, I will go. Whithersoever thou lodgest, I will lodge. She told me very early on in our courtship, I just point blank asked her, I said, will you go with me and travel and do the gospel work that I do? And she looked at me and she hesitated a little bit. And she said, yes, sir, I'll do it. Now, you might think that's a little bit bold, but I got news for you. I didn't have time to waste. Took me a year to get her asked to marry me. But I wanted to know up front, will you go with me? Will you work in the gospel work? Will you do what my burden is? She said, I'll do it. Bless her heart. She didn't know at that point she was going to be a pastor's wife. And I'd call her home one night. I'd call her, been trying to get her. I was out in the install work, and I couldn't get a hold of her. And finally, when I reached her, I said, what you been doing? She said, I've been your assistant pastor. I've been over to Sister So-and-so praying with her. And they prayed through. I don't know if it was that night or just later. Anyway, they prayed through, and that sister's still serving God today. Oh, wives and husbands, work together. Work with your vows. In other words, if your husband made a vow or if your wife made a vow, you have vowed together to serve God. You're dedicated. You're consecrated, at least you're supposed to be. And you need to work and pull together and do everything God wants you to do. Go together. Teach together. Preach together, so to speak. Whatever. Get in the harness and work together. All right, let's go to Proverbs, finish up 20 and 25. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Are you paid up tonight? God's in the collection business. He wants you to pay. He wants to collect. I'm going to tell you, I believe there'd be times, there'd be some glory rolling if that would be taken care of. Because there's people holding back and not doing. There'd be some fire in the pews and there'd be some glory in the pulpit because of fire in the pews if everybody would pay their vows unto the Most High. Pay it out. Praise God. The pastor would be shouting, the evangelist would be shouting, and the crowd would be shouting. Praise God. Because we're paid out, there's too many people dragging their feet on God. 20 and 25 of Proverbs. It is a snare to a man who devoureth that which is holy and after vows to make inquiry. Now, I want to read a translation on that. You and I need to be careful in making any vows. It is a danger to a man to say without thought, it is holy, and after taking his oaths to be questioning if it is necessary to keep them. To inquire, well, I made this, now then, Lord, do I have to keep them? I want to check in. Is it really necessary, Lord? You know, I made that vow the other night, but is it really serious? I really have to keep that. Lord, help us. Need to pray first before we speak. Need to pray first before we vow. Because God is going to hold us. He sees them. He hears them. And He wants you and I to pay thy vows unto the Most High. 23 of Deuteronomy and 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Oh, tonight, what have you vowed? What have you told the Lord? Lord, I'll do this. Oh, tonight the gospel work would move on if the vows were paid up. They would move on. Brother Egbert Allen made a statement several times in my hearing that if the church of God would, I don't know that he used the word vow, but if they would give 10%, now I'm not teaching tithing here, I'm just telling you what he said. He said, if we would give 10% of our income to the work of God, said the church of God would move on. There's some truth to that. And I believe that God requires this much. I believe He requires 100%, but Brother Edward did have a point. There's people giving 1%, 2%, 3%, not even giving as much. Listen, folks, tonight what we need to do in our giving and so forth is to say, Lord, what would Thou give, have me to give? Well, I give 25 a week, but what if the Lord wants 50 or 75 or 100? Well, I can't give that. Listen, you made a vow to give unto God your wallets and your wills and so forth and your bank account. All that belongs to God. And if we will stay stick by what we vowed in our consecration and in giving to God, this thing would move on. Now, that ain't very popular, but it's true tonight. It'd move on if we'd just give to God. Just give to God what, Lord, what would you have me give? Well, I gave 25 last week, but the preacher's got an extra 50 he needs this week. Oh, you want 75 then? Okay, Lord, here it is. Or maybe 100, whatever it might be. If we would seek God, consecration is a situation where between you and God, you're living by the very Spirit, the very Holy Spirit, the very indwelling power of God. You're living for Him, and then you're being guided and you're being worked with God and you. And so consequently, in our giving and in all the things that we do, if we give to God like we ought to give, no matter what it is, God's going to bless it. He's going to work with it. Ecclesiastes 5 and 4. He said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. We had no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hand? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. Oh, when thou vowest a vow, are you paid up tonight? I was in a situation one time a number of years ago where I'd done a little janitor job. And this company had the money, but they wouldn't pay me. And it wasn't a lot of money. Seemed like in my mind it was $36. And somebody would say, well, why didn't you just write it off? Because I was a poor man, I needed the money. So I was talking to my nephew, Earl Benson. I said, he had been doing this several years. I said, Earl, I can't get them to pay. I know they got the money. They're not broke. They got money to pay this little old bill. He said, let me tell you what to do, Uncle Carl. He said, write you out a statement and put on there interest due after 30 days, after 60 days, and add that interest in and put it down there and show them what it's going to be, what you're requiring of them. And he said, send it to them, see what happens. I said, okay. So Becky and I fixed one up, and I sent it to them, and you know what happened? They paid right away. If God was to charge you interest, I know this is a financial thought, but if God was to charge us interest on the vow that you made 20 years ago, how much would you owe tonight? You couldn't pay it all. Brother Salmon said, I'm doing double duty. I think he said he asked the Lord to do double duty. He said, you know, I think He took me up on it. I'm going to tell you, some people can't pay it out, bless your heart. Because you made that vow years and years and years ago, and you've not paid it, and your mouth has caused you to sin, so to speak, and you're in trouble before God. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. God's knocking and saying it's time to pay thy vow unto the Most High. Oh, if He sent you that bill and charged you that interest, how much would you owe tonight? I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us to get busy right now. Not put it off any longer. Not run and hide anymore. Not climb under a juniper tree or under the bed or under a rock. But say, here am I, Lord, have mercy on me. Let's stand tonight. Let's have a number. If you've got a vow or vows that you hadn't paid, I'm begging you to come pay them tonight. It's time to pay your vows unto the Most High.